So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
I had a...
Here's John Williams.
Change of heart. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to say, isn't it? When you've changed your mind, when you're open to a new idea. Hi, it's John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. We're 18 stories above the beautiful Chicago River today. There's the city. There's our pretty lake. And we're sure glad you're there, too, until 3 with me. And then Rokan and Anna DeVlantis will entertain and inform you. I'm on Saturdays, too, by the way, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Won't be on this Saturday. I'll be on stage at the College of DuPage, finally, with the third president of the United States and over 1,000 of you in the audience. A few tickets still for sale. We will give away some after 2:30. Today's the last day to give away tickets, and you've got just a couple of days to buy tickets if you think, oh, I ought to go to that thing. Oh, let's just go see what this is all about. Tickets are at WGNradio.com/events. So the one thing I changed my mind about was the whole Ravinia experience. But before I get to that, Griff, let's just go ahead and segue to a little Aretha Franklin today and enjoy some of that music throughout the rest of the show.
Ain't no way for me to love you if you won't let me.
From her biographies and now obituaries yesterday and today. And we've been talking a little bit about her. And here was seven things they said on CNN today that you should know about Aretha Franklin. Self-taught piano, learned to play by ear. She sang in her dad's choir. Her dad's a fascinating story. She performed in 1968, still very young, at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral. Was on tour with him. In 1987, she became the first female inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She had that rare four-octave range, they say. She won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, or was awarded that. She performed at three presidential inaugurations. The video that you see time and again now is of her performing at the Kennedy Center when they were honoring Carole King, and she brought the house down and the president to tears. But it's funny, too, because so I'm reading like stories about her today, and so many of them are just about her success, how many millions of records she sold, how she moved up the R&B charts and the soul charts and the pop charts and the rock and roll charts, and depending on where her career was or what music it was. And it's fantastic. It says here, at the age of 16, Franklin went on tour with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and in 1968 sang at his funeral. I was thinking about that. What a weird life that must have been for that little girl, age 16, to be on tour with Martin Luther King Jr., eventually singing at his funeral. I just cannot get over the fact that at the age of 16 she was doing that, and at that time herself had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. She would go on to bear 4 children and led the kind of life that I don't think many of us can relate to. And then at the end of a couple of the stories about her, it says this. And it's funny because you remember the video of her performing at the Kennedy Center, or you know, certain performances that you'll see and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I love that song. So it says here, in December of 2015, Franklin gave an acclaimed performance, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, at the 2015 Kennedy Honors. And on Thanksgiving Day 2016, she once again performed the national anthem before the game between the Minnesota Vikings. This was on Thanksgiving Day a couple years ago, 2016. She does the Thanksgiving Day game between the Vikings and the Lions. Seated behind the piano in a black fur coat and the lion's stocking cap, this rendition of the Star Spangled Banner lasted over 4 minutes and featured a host of improvisations by Franklin. I just remember being on Twitter that day because I'm a Vikings fan, and you may have been watching that game a little bit on Thanksgiving Day, too. And, you know, Twitter was just blowing up. You know, at halftime, smart guys were going, "She's still singing." It was a 4.5-minute rendition. You know, the national anthem before the game, everybody lines up, and you kind of need to move it along because we want to play the game here. She gave a concert performance, and it was fantastic. But people were kind of like, really? Seriously? And I don't think she cared. And I don't think maybe at the end of the day the world did either. So the game started 3 minutes later than they might have thought. But that was just one of the memorable performances that she gave in her career. And I chuckled just thinking about that again. So that's that story today. We'll bump with a little bit of her music as we move along. Oh, by the way, Griff, can we also, just speaking of music, play a little of the music that we featured yesterday when we were on the stream? This is from the movie Vertigo, which was performed last night by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra at Ravinia. At Ravinia. You know how they do it? They have the screens up, and then the orchestra performs the score live and in person right in front of the screen. I've heard about these. I've never done one of these. And Griff was telling us that this is a great movie, but also one of his favorite musical scores. And it was really fantastic last night.
I knew you'd change your tune once you saw it.
I'm so glad you liked it.
I like the whole experience. I don't know if you guys know this, but the train stops right in front of Ravinia.
Captain Mopey Pants.
I was really complaining about everything yesterday. I don't know what was the matter with me, but I was not excited about going up to Ravinia, in part because I used to live in LaGrange Park, and the way to get there would be 294 to County Line Road, and then the slog down County Line Road and rush hour traffic trying to get there. It just seemed to me like, as a native of the western suburbs, Ravinia could be on Pluto. It was just not worth getting there. We jumped on the Metra at Ravenswood, took Metra up. It stops right there. You get out, you're there. You're there.
You can still hear part of the concert if you leave early. I sat on the train and heard a couple of the last songs on the train.
Oh, really?
Not last night, but in general.
And that happened to us, too, because then the show ends at like 10:30 last night. The next train is at 10:33. I'm like, okay, I want to be on the 10:33 train and not the 11:02 train. So we were kind of jogging up as the train is pulling up, but we jumped into the train. And then he sat there for 10 minutes and let everybody get on, which is, of course, the right thing to do.
I was going to say, do I need to tell you how the movie ends?
What a bizarre ending to the movie.
Not a happy one.
If you see Vertigo, get ready for a weird ending. And by the way, it stars Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak. And Kim Novak was on stage at Ravinia last night with Michael Phillips, the film critic for the Chicago Tribune. Phillips gave a really interesting, about 20-minute talk about the movie and stuff. And then she came on stage and he interviewed her.
So were you in the pavilion or on the lawn?
Both. We had dinner on the lawn at one of those little restaurant bar areas.
And then you sat in the pavilion?
And then we went into the pavilion.
Right. So Sunday, I saw Steve Martin and Martin Short there.
As did my friends.
And the same thing, where it was a visual more than a band. So we sat on the lawn and watched. The big screen is beautiful.
So Ruth didn't think that it was all that damn funny. Jack did.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
It was so much. I love Steve Martin. I laughed so much more than I expected to.
I mean,
hard laughter.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I'm glad, because I haven't seen Steve Martin do original comedy in, like, forever.
Well, it was with Martin Short, and it was kind of a recollection show. And
yeah.
I loved it.
But yeah.
The point is, we're sitting outside. They're on the stage 100 yards from us, and we could walk up and see them if we wanted to. But it was fun just to watch it. It was worth it just to watch it on the screen.
Well, and part of the experience is just being on the lawn.
Yeah,
and
it's summer night. Like, I was texting you last night.
Yeah, summer night on the lawn. So but literally, my whole life going to Ravinia was from the western suburbs. And I don't know what you're going to do if you're in the western suburbs, because it's still going to be an effort to get there. But here's something else I appreciated. And that is, having spent a lot of time on the lake these days, and you know how much I love the walkway and the bike path and the beaches along Lake Michigan. And they have garbage cans everywhere because so many people use them. And the garbage cans are unsightly. Sometimes people aren't putting the trash away. And I'm bugged by the litter and the unsightly amount of garbage and garbage cans that are along there. But what are you going to do? Then you go to Ravinia and you go, oh, here's what you could do. Have neatly placed, attractive looking, really solid trash receptacles. I know it's a completely different environment, experience, and price. Lake is free. Ravinia is not. But you just had a sense of how an outdoor venue can be and how nice it can be.
Well, at Ravinia, they'll hand you a garbage bag when you walked in.
Do they really? I didn't notice that.
Right.
Yeah. So we had a real nice time there. Now I'm a convert, and I'm going to tell everybody to start going to Ravinia.
We'll see you up there in a couple weeks, maybe.
Yes is going to perform. Tony Bennett hasn't been there yet, so they got that going for him, which
is nice. Jason Mraz is coming up.
Right. I've got the schedule right here. I may read it to you.
So I go into his office this morning, and he's going over the schedule to see when he's going up next.
Don't you hate it when somebody just discovers something everybody else in the room has known?
No, I'm glad, because sometimes you have to have the right state of mind to get there or whatever.
It is that.
It's such a great place.
But do you understand my reservation and why people are hesitant in the south or the western part of the city to get to Ravinia? Because it's not easy to get to for a lot of people. And you hear about this great experience.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But you mean like it was easy to get to Alpine Valley? Right? I mean, if you're going to an Alpine Valley concert, you're driving for an hour and a half.
I guess so, yeah.
Tinley Park.
I guess so.
But it is, there's a method.
Let's end on a high note. You had fun, right?
Ta-da! Conversation over. Our news click today at WGNradio.com is this. Is the press the opposition party? The president has often said that the press is the enemy of the people, but he tweaked it a little bit today and said they're the opposition party. I think those are different animals. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he doesn't really think that the press is the enemy of the people, although he may yet say that again. Then sometimes he says fake media is the enemy of the people. But today he wants you to know, and maybe these are all, horses of the same stripe, which is a saying I think I just made up. But now he's saying that the press is the opposition party.
He said that free press is very important to America. It's the last thing he would want to do to lose it. But the freedom of the press also allows them to print lies.
Yeah,
that was the gist of a couple of his tweets, kind of put together. And then did throw in the term opposition party somewhere.
Yeah, which I'm sorry,
he holds rallies and he has his fans turn and jeer the reporters.
CNN sucks, and he'll pause a speech while they do that.
So I don't understand his tweet saying he values the free press.
No, what are you going to believe, the actions or the words? So there's the news click is this. We're asking you this. You can vote right now. Go to WGNradio.com. It's posted on my Facebook page, too. I'm WGN King John on social media. And I'd like you to call or text right now and just answer that simple question. And let's confine it to this. Is the press the opposition party? On Twitter, incidentally, I'm WGN King John on Twitter. We posted two options for me at the Thomas Jefferson Show this weekend. I'll be on stage at the College of DuPage interviewing the third president of the United States. Yesterday we said this gray suit or this blue suit. The blue suit won. I think the red, white, and blue kerchief and cufflinks helped. So today we posted the winner, the blue suit, up against another option, a red, white, and blue star-spangled swimsuit, high-top canvas Converse in the flag motif, swim goggles, and a sleeveless T-shirt. And 37% of you are voting for that. That's on Twitter.
But don't do it.
The news click at WGNradio.com is the press the opposition party? And you've got something to say about that. Nick, thanks for calling. You're on WGN. Hi, Nick.
Don't do it.
We'll come back to you, Nick. Turn your radio down. Get your head up. Let's go to Patricia. You're on the air. Patricia, what do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. No, I do not think they're the opposition party. I think they're the truth-seeking party.
And, party is, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you joining us, Patricia. When I think party, I don't think political party, but I think the president is sort of borrowing that there. Kyra, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, of course there's the opposition party. Take a look at what they talked about during Obama years. versus what they're talking about during the Trump years. They're trying to find anything that they can to bring down the president. I have to listen to another news station to find out what really is going on. Of course, they're the opposition party. Hello? Wake up.
Kyra, hold on. Are you still there, Kyra or Kira? Are you still
yes.
there? Okay.
Yes.
We got you loud and clear. I appreciate your phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now. We're going to Jonathan next. You're on WGN. Hi, Jonathan. You're on the air.
Hi. Nice to talk to you, John. Your name is John, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. anyway, I listen to it a lot. Anyway, I honest to God, I think that Donald Trump is leading us into a new era of McCarthyism. Joe McCarthy, a senator from Wisconsin, back in the early 1950s, claimed that the government was permeated with communists, that the newspapers that wrote against him were communists. He went as far as to say that the Secretary of the Army was a communist. He was eventually exposed for what he was, fraud.
All right, Jonathan, thanks for the phone call. So that's another one. By the way, you can vote. That's our news click, our daily web poll question. Is the media the opposition party? Is the press the opposition party? Editorials across the country today in 350-some newspapers. The Daily Herald, the Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Peoria Journal-Star, all writing with one theme in mind today, and it is that. Steve's got the news. That's coming up next. There's an euphemism. How do you not just dial up a little bit of Aretha today and listen to it and have a little glass of wine and just kind of kick back and enjoy the music that she produced for so many years? Okay, I wanted to just bring up one story, Steve, that you talked about in the beginning of your newscast, Steve Bertrand, and that was the Laquan McDonald thing.
It's yes.
The Jason Van Dyke trial. He's on trial or is going to be for murder in September of Laquan McDonald, and it's so interesting to see how the two sides are positioning this, because if you've seen the video, you've seen the officer shoot this then 17-year-old walking away from him in the street. And originally they said that McDonald had leaped at them and that he was brandishing a knife and slashing tires. And the video demonstrates that that's not true. I don't know. Maybe somebody will conclude otherwise. Maybe they've got an angle I haven't seen. But it sure looked to me like that kid was more than a lane of traffic away, walking away when he was gunned down. And the defense will be self-defense. If I'm Officer Van Dyke, I am worried about my defense. The Mincing Rascals podcast that we record on Thursdays, we just recorded before we came into the studio today.
Man, it was a good one today.
Eric Zorn, Scott Stantis, Steve Bertrand, me. You know, that's a part of the gang that's usually there. You know, we didn't win the Lissiger Award for best podcast in the city for nothing. Zorn, and at least Eric Zorn, said they think that knowing what we know right now, Van Dyke does not get convicted. And I'm like, holy cow, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How does he not? Okay, so they said, should we be able to introduce as evidence his troubled past? Should we or should we not? What's that got to do with the crime, right? A person who doesn't have a troubled past could commit a crime, and a person with a troubled past might not commit a crime. So is that relevant? Should we be able to demonstrate that he's had some run-ins with the law before or a difficult life?
Are you asking me?
Well, you did give us the answer to that in the news, right?
They've been requesting that her mom testify. His mom, she's been avoiding it. And earlier this week, the judge said that he would bar her from the trial in the courtroom unless she complied with a subpoena and came to talk about her son's history.
So
I don't know what
it.
So that's happening today. I don't know what the ruling will be about admissibility or something.
Understood.
It's hard to imagine unless the unless the police officer Van Dyke could testify that he knew who the guy was and he knew his history.
Right.
What the history relevance would be.
Well, that's where they run into trouble sometimes. Then after the fact, they'll look up and say, well, this guy has a criminal past. But when the officer first encounters this person, they don't know who that person is.
They can only judge by his actions in front of
time.
Them. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but... Well, and then there's the other thing, right, where they can't refer to McDonald as a victim?
Think about this now. You've seen Laquan McDonald shot dead in the street. He will not be described as the victim.
And it's a murder trial, so the guy on trial is charged with murdering him.
It's a homicide, which means, you know, somebody killed somebody. Doesn't have to be a murder, but it's a homicide. Remember, the city paid the McDonald family $5 million before any of this happened. They just wrote him a check when that video came out. So should he be able to be described, Laquan McDonald, as a victim? And they said no, because then that means that
if there's a victim, it defeats Van Dyke's defense of a self-defense.
Right.
So if you call him a victim, you're almost already calling Van Dyke the offender, and that's not fair to him in his trial if he's claiming self-defense.
The defense wanted to preclude the jury from seeing the video. I'd sure try to keep them from seeing that video, because when they see that video, Jack, you're in trouble. Now, Zorn reminded us, well, cops get away with this kind of thing all the time. This won't be the first time. And if Jason Van Dyke is not convicted, this will not be the first time that something like that happened. Fair enough.
But this was a long pursuit. I mean, that video is a very small clip, but when you watch the whole thing, it's his actions prior to that were not cooperative.
Right. He was walking down the street. There was a bunch of cops.
Well, he was running from police.
Well, at the time that he was shot, he was walking. But you're right. There was a lot more to that video than what we first saw. And actually, I don't remember seeing him run. Do you, Violetta, see him running in the video away from the police?
Well, I think in the longer video of the dash cam, there's three different police officers that are chasing.
Yeah.
So, yes.
But even if he was, right, at that time, he was no threat to anybody. And even if he was running and brandishing a knife away from the cops, I don't think you're supposed to be shot dead there on the spot as a result of that.
Right, but when police pursue someone who isn't cooperating,
So cooperate, right? If you don't want to get shot like that, cooperate. That's where that argument goes. And actually, that might save your life, but that's still wrong, right? You still should be able to say, not do what the police want, and not be shot 16 times. And he's going to claim self-defense. So that's just where that case is. It'll start the first week of September. And I'm just bringing up some of these points because I think it's fascinating to see what the jury will or won't be able to see. And you can see how critical these things are. Do we know about his past? Do we see the video? Do we describe him as a victim or not? And those decisions are being made this week, and those will have great bearing on the story. Yesterday, we were at WGNRadio.com. Remember, when the White Sox are on, we aren't. When the White Sox are on, we're obviously not on the radio. The White Sox are, but then we do our show on the stream at WGNRadio.com. So yesterday, we told you the story out in Oregon about a horse that was greatly neglected. The horse was 300 pounds underweight when it was brought into a veterinarian. And they found the guy that owned the horse, and they said, my God, you've mistreated this animal. And he pled guilty. He said, yeah, I mean, it's a crime. Animal abuse is a crime in all 50 states. But now the horse is suing that owner in civil court. The horse is seeking at least $100,000. The horse is alive. It's been sort of put out to pasture. It's grazing in what sounds like a lovely place, looking up at the mountains with other horses that have been abused. So whatever's going on in that horse's head, it's having as nice a life now as it can have. But the horse is suing for pain and suffering and for continued maintenance and upkeep. $100,000. So we asked you if the horse should be able to do that. I voted yes. I know that's an incorrect answer, but that's where my heart is on this. Anybody coming with me on this one? By the way, the NewsClick results on this so far are pretty close. Actually, we've closed this one. It was, should a horse be recognized as a plaintiff and be able to sue a human being? And actually, when we got done, it was 50-50, right, Griff? Half of you said yes. Half of you said no. Where are you on this one, Mr. Griff?
I think I'm also 50-50. I'm split down the middle. I don't know.
You don't get to be
50-50. You can't vote twice.
Or half. You have to vote once. Which would you click?
I would click...
should a horse be able to sue for pain and suffering?
Yes.
And your dog. If you know one of those instances where they say, we found a lady and she had 72 cats and they were all malnourished and blah, blah, blah. I think you should... Unless the lady's crazy. But I think you should be able to sue for pain and suffering.
I can see the TV commercials. Are you a cat being mistreated?
You know, my vote, it's not going to change policy, so I can vote with my heart.
Yes, that's kind of where I am on this, right?
Yeah.
Thank goodness
yeah.
I'm not the decider.
Well, yeah, I heard that horse was 300 pounds underweight.
Think about that.
I mean, that's horrifying.
I don't know what a horse is supposed to weigh, but it sounds like it's at least 50% of its weight is gone because it hasn't been getting fed. It was standing out in the cold in the winter. It had all sorts of sores and lice, and it was just an animal barely clinging to life with no hope. Thank goodness the horse got saved. That guy should be punished. He should pay.
But aren't there animal cruelty laws against that type of behavior anyway?
And he'd already been prosecuted under those laws and found guilty.
Right. But
that's what that is what keeps
and
me
the horse
on the fence.
Wasn't taken away from him.
The horse was so everything that the criminal justice system can do was done.
Oh, okay.
Except
so the
that
horse
we don't
was
have a way
saved based on the laws.
Okay, but say you suffered some sort of abuse, you would still then sue that person in civil court for pain and suffering, for loss of wages, for all kinds of
even
things.
If they'd been found guilty.
Absolutely,
right.
You can. Yeah.
So it's about the money that's going to go to care for the horse to make it whole again,
or. Or it's the money that guy's not going to have as another means of punishment.
Well, I guess is it both?
Yeah. I mean, why do you sue General Motors when there's a defect in the car?
Because if you're a person.
Because
and you drive a car.
Okay. So here's the... I'm asking you to sound off on this at 312-981-7200. You answer any way you want. 312-981-7200. Call or text WGN. 150 WGN Radio. This is John Williams. Now you can call or text 312-981-7200. We're talking about the horse suing the owner for neglect in a lawsuit filed in the horse's name in county court. The horse is seeking at least $100,000 for abuse. A trust would stay with the horse no matter who the caretaker is. Let's go to Rick. You're on WGN. What do you want to say, Rick? You're on the air.
Hi, John. My dog is threatening to sue me because he doesn't like his dog food.
Right. Yeah. That's what's
going to
happen.
Yeah, just saying, you know, where do you draw the line?
Thanks for the phone.
Anyway, love hearing your voice on the radio. Thank you.
I like being here and talking to people like you. Thanks. Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, John.
You're on the air.
I was just going to say that I think you should raise this question with the second president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, because I think he would tell you that horses are not born with unalienable rights, and the last thing we need is dogs, cats, pigs, and horses clogging up an already clogged court system.
Taking all the fun out of this, I think you're exactly right. You know what, though? Jerry, I will ask him that question. That'll be fun.
I think you should.
Thank you, sir. Third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, will be asked on stage. So there's this horse in Oregon. I remember once when Chicago was grappling with the issue of goose livers. What is that called? Foie gras?
Foie gras.
Remember that? And the city council passed an ordinance saying that because that's such an unfortunate life for the goose, that it'll be illegal to serve foie gras in Chicago. So that came up. We asked Jefferson about that. And he looked so sad. When we asked him that question, not for the goose, but for civilization.
Because he's an animal lover?
No, yeah, right. I mean, you know, imagine how few animal rights there were 250 years ago. You know,
didn't have human rights. So.
Now that you mention it, right, most people couldn't vote, so they weren't too worried about the liver of a goose. And he just, his shoulders kind of slumped, like, really? Is that what you guys are doing? You know, we died on the battlefield and wrote this wonderful document or two for you guys, and you're worried about goose livers? That's where that kind of ended. Jim, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Yeah, about the horse, John.
Yeah.
There's no way the horse can sue because there's no way to question the horse. How were you treated? How long did you suffer? What should we give? Because the horse can't tell anybody.
No.
So someone should have to sue either on behalf of the horse, like the SPCA, who's taking or whoever's taking care of it, can sue for care of the horse because of the mistreatment. But the horse itself cannot sue.
Maybe they go, how many times were you hit? And the horse goes, I don't know if
yeah.
coming through the radio or not. And it's nothing to be joking about because I'm on the horse's side. It's novel, I'll
so
say that. But, you know, so if, and obviously human beings are involved, but put it this way, if your distinction notwithstanding, are you kind of on the horse's side? Like, would you allow somebody in civil court to sue on behalf of the horse?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Whoever is taking care of the horse should be allowed to sue the guy for what they have to pay to care for the horse that he mistreated.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. Thanks for the phone call. That's our news click at WGNradio.com. And so you not only get that, but then literally pain and suffering. And then you could, right, you don't get to ask the horse, well, what was it like standing out there in the cold, no food for months or weeks or whatever it was? But I could come up with a number, right? I mean, we have to do that all the time. Griff, ask me, what would I give the horse for the pain and suffering?
What would you give the horse for its pain and suffering?
$250,000.
$1,000 for every pound underweight.
There you go. That's what they do. They come up with equations.
Although then you're 1 pound underweight, that's $1,000. That doesn't seem fair.
Right. This is not without precedent, by the way.
Why is Griffin laughing at underweight horses?
Cruel.
Listen to this.
Don't sue me. Don't sue me.
In 2004, a federal appeals court shot down a suit in the name of the world's dolphins and whales, in which President George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld were sued over the U.S. Navy's use of sonar. So the Navy's sending out those sounds underwater. It's very painful, we think, to the dolphins and the whales. So they sued the president and the defense secretary. That didn't go anywhere. But in 2012, a U.S. district court dismissed a suit filed on behalf of five SeaWorld orcas, which argued that their captivity was a violation of the 13th Amendment's prohibition of slavery. And again, that got shot down because that's just silly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. This spring, a federal appeals court ruled that a crested macaque, that's, you know, like a monkey, that took its own photo, could not sue for copyright protection, saying, quote, this monkey and all animals, since they are not human, lack statutory standing under the Copyright Act. So every time somebody comes up with something to try and treat animals like human beings, it goes nowhere.
Now, do you want to go full circle here?
How's that?
What about that turtle that choked on your straw?
Should he be able to sue me?
Yeah, for using straws when you should be using plastic straws instead of paper straws.
I guess if you could trace it to me, I've shown wanton indifference to the plight of turtle-eating straws, haven't I?
And what about all the animals during the BP oil spill?
Yeah, no kidding. But you know what? I think that is a more interesting example. You would then say, okay, on behalf of the plight of all of the animals that have suffered in the Gulf, should we be able to sue on their behalf against BP?
Don should have got some extra money for cleaning up all those ducks.
Griff, look up how much did BP end up paying? Because, you know, to me, the idea of any kind of a lawsuit like this, be it to an automobile manufacturer on behalf of human beings or, say, this guy that owns the horse, the idea is that if you make the penalty painful enough in civil court, that the next guy won't do that.
I'm seeing...
I think it was gigantic, wasn't it?
I'll double check. I'm seeing around $21
billion. $21 billion. You know what? I don't even know if that's enough. I mean, I don't know what... That sounds like a lot of money, but then again, it's BP, and then they'll go, well, they already have that in cash reserves or something. But it was $21 billion. That's a lot. That's a lot.
And that one, I mean, that one killed 11 workers, too, so that was part of that settlement. So, I mean, that's human lives.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And I think that was the largest corporate settlement in U.S. history.
We went 50-50, should a horse be recognized as a plaintiff? The News Click today is asking you if you think that the media is not the enemy of the people. Griff, how did we word that? I'm looking for it on my sheet again here. Today's News Click is the press the opposition party? That's today's News Click at WGNRadio.com.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Good job.
Here's John Williams.
Dow. How about them apples? What did you say we're at, Steve? 25,589? Is that where the Dow is right now?
It's up, 25,591.
Look at that. USA. This is John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm WGN King John. WGN King John. You can help me pick out my suit for our Thomas Jefferson show. Yesterday, you all said I should, it was very close voting, go with the blue suit rather than the gray suit, the plaid one. Now we're putting the blue suit up against a swimsuit, but it's star-spangled and it's really lovely and patriotic.
You're not doing that, are you?
37% are saying go with the swimsuit, which I think is a high number. We weren't expecting it to go there. the Dow at 25,591 or so, up 400 plus points. How about that? I just looked it up. The all-time high is 26.6, so we've still got a ways to go. And not that long ago, it seemed to me like we had been down for the year. But this, I'm not sure now where we opened on January 1st or 2nd, whatever the first day of trading was in 2018. But it's nice to see the Dow clawing some of that back. Okay, so just speaking of money, have you guys been following this Queen of Hearts thing going on the South Side?
Well, is this one of the games that they, I think they started it in Morris? There was one.
There was a big one in Morris that made headlines. This is at McNally's now in the Beverly Morgan Park area. So let me see if I understand how a Queen of Hearts raffle works. You go to a bar, say, and they've got a bucket there, and you buy raffle tickets. And so you say, I'll take 10 tickets for $20 or however, whatever they're selling them. And then on each of those little tear tickets, you write your name and a number between 1 and 54. And then you all put them in the bucket, and you put the money on the other side, and then somebody reaches out. And if they pull your number out, you don't win the money. But you now win a chance to essentially play the game. And here's the game. So already it's kind of difficult because only one name's going to come out each week. They do it on Thursday nights. They're going to have a drawing at McNally's again this evening. And as I understand it, the line on Western is out the door for people to try and get in and buy tickets today because it rolls over each week. But say you've won. That is, they've pulled your ticket out of the bucket with thousands of them in there. You haven't won anything yet, but now you've won the opportunity to win. And then they have a board in the bar. There are 54 cards, as I understand it, face down. You can't see them. So it's one through all 52 plus the two jokers there. And you, on your card, have selected. Remember I said you put your name and number on your little raffle ticket? That raffle ticket they've pulled with your name on it will say number 27. They go to the 27th card on the board, and they turn it over. And if that card is the Queen of Hearts, you win all the money in the bucket. So, you know, at best it's a 1 in 54 chance each week that somebody will win, and your chances aren't that good because each week it rolls over, more and more names are in there. So the odds aren't good for you, but it's local, and they split the pot. Half of the money goes to a local school or whatever the cause is. The bar owner could be doing it for his own purposes, but it's a fundraiser for the local school. And the winner gets half. And the total... Kevin McDonough works for WGN Radio in our sales department, and he just called in. Hey, Kevin, where are you right now?
So I'm actually just coming back from a sales call that actually was, I'm on 111th right by McNally's, 111th and Western.
Did you know what the total is on that thing right now?
So I think it climbed up, it's near $2.5 million at this point, and it's down to 9 cards, so... This has been going on for 45 weeks now, and it's down to 9 cards. And let me tell you, it is all the talk of Beverly and the South Side.
Still, so think about it. If they pull your name out, you got your name in there?
I went last night, and it was shoulder-to-shoulder crowded. I had to wait in line to get my tickets. But, yeah, I filled them out and got them in the raffle.
Am I in the raffle?
You know, John, actually, you know, you get six tickets for $5, and I ended up throwing in $5 for John Williams. So if you get a call around, you know, a little after 9 o'clock tonight, you know, telling you that you found the Queen of Hearts, you owe me a few bucks.
Yeah, well, I'd sure give you more than a few. So so then what number did you put down on my, which of the remaining nine cards am I going to take?
So I've been playing the same number. I it's a couple different strategies. And you know what's really unique? Now you're starting to see about half the people in there, they're actually going to like an Office Max and they're getting stampers made with their name and their cell phone on it. So when you buy the tickets, you don't have to physically fill out each ticket because, you know, the hand starts cramping. People are just stamping their name and number. But, you know, some people play all the available numbers, you know, and kind of rotate it. I've been playing 41 for the past, three or four months now. So I'm going to, and that's still alive, so
wow.
I'm going to keep rolling with 41.
But imagine that now. So say they reach in and pull out Kevin McDonough's raffle ticket, and you go, oh my God, I can't believe it. You still have only a 1 in 9 chance. You know, chances are good that you won't win, but they're better than they've been for almost a year for anybody, right? So you have a 1 in 9 chance that then when they say 41, they turn over card 41, and if it's Queen of Hearts, you win. If it's not, now they're down to 8 remaining cards. And then, tell me if this is correct, Kevin, then everybody who had put in money and their name this week, the bar keeps the cash, you know, they hold it, and all the names get thrown out and it starts over again. Is that right?
That's correct. It's a rollover. So you got to come back in and get your tickets again because, what I'm seeing is now, because of obviously the interest and the huge pot that's available, the number of dollars it's jumping week to week is growing. So, it could go to 2.7, 2.75 and beyond. And I believe they have a permitting for a max amount of $4 million.
I understand. Well, that's what they ran into in Morris, is the paperwork wasn't good. And my understanding is that maybe they ran into this over at McNally's as well, where they had to get the the pot expanded legally because there are limits. I don't know why you would limit these things. Let the people make all the money they want. They're splitting the money, Kevin, with whom?
With St. Cajetan, which is a school church in Beverly. It's a Catholic grade school. So it's a fundraiser. It's a split the pot fundraiser. You know, no one ever thinks it's going to, swell to this amount. So so it's great because, you go in last night and really it's a fun way to run into people you haven't seen in a while. It feels like the whole neighborhood's up there and buying raffle tickets because you want to win, but you're also, supporting a local school up here. So it's great.
$1 million for a Catholic grade school. Can you imagine? Well, 1.25 if it's 2.5. I mean, that'll solve a lot of problems for a local school, won't it?
I would think so, and I heard it's even tax free too. I don't know; that's what I've heard. So
listen to this,
which is awesome.
Listen to this, Kevin. Mary, you're on WGN Radio. What's up?
Hey, John. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Oh, good! You're coming to our Thomas Jefferson show.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be front and center.
Excellent.
My friend and I.
Oh, good.
So beyond that, I would not ever miss this for anything in the world. Everybody should be going to it, and I'm glad there's 1,000 people going. The last time I saw you was at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake just before you went up to Minnesota.
Oh, with did we do Jefferson or Roosevelt there?
Oh, my God, I've been watching him for so long, I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were there, that was important, and Brenda was there, that was important.
That's
so,
nice of you
to
say.
At any rate,
yeah.
In McHenry County, we're already up past $4 million.
Oh, where,
and it's to help the VFW.
No,
and it's
kidding.
A 60-40 split, and they also had to have the permit changed to increase because they never thought it would get over 3.
Were they selling
and
them? Were they selling them up there?
The McHenry County VFW.
Yeah, right. Okay,
it's on Route 120, in McHenry, it's everybody's going nuts about it. It's in the paper every week. It's wonderful and fantastic. It's going to help the VFW to do some needed remodeling for their facility, and there's nothing better than that.
How many cards are left in the draw for the VFW, Mary?
I don't know because I don't do that kind of stuff. But I did hear that last week, the last time they did it, somebody pulled the queen, but it was clubs.
Yeah, so, the queen of diamonds break people's hearts. Oh, my gosh.
We're getting there. We're getting there. I'll tell you on Saturday what happened this week.
Yeah, dude, stay in touch. Thanks for the call, and I'll see you Saturday.
Okay, take care. 10 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Has the queen of diamonds already been revealed at McNally's, Kevin?
You know, I'm not sure. I know some queens have been revealed. I'm not sure about the diamonds.
Yeah. So then, this is, like you described it, as a kind of a neighborhood feel, but I don't live on the South Side. My name's in there. Are people coming from far and near to play this now that the jackpot's over a couple million dollars?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard there's been, you know, buses of people from all over Chicagoland coming down to McNally's to get into this raffle now that it's gotten so large. So, yeah, I mean, word has spread, certainly, but you still see a lot of the same recognizable faces that are playing it, you know, really from the beginning, week after week, which is good to see.
If I was the guy running McNally's, I would say you have to purchase a beer first to kind of juice up sales, right? Because I could just go in, buy the lottery tickets, the raffle ticket, if you will, and then head out without having to buy any beverage, right?
You can, yeah, but a lot of people, you know, opt for the, you know, to
well,
get a couple.
Well, I'm here anyway. I might. And look, hey, Kevin's here. Kevin!
I still don't really get how to play. But,
I know.
But can I give you some money? Are you still there?
Kevin? You know, Violetta, I can get you in if you want to get in. I got to see how that line situation is now, though, because, you know, I got to get back to work. You know
no,
what
no,
I mean?
You're fine. Just stay there. We're going to win this thing.
We talked when this thing was in Morris last year, we talked about it a lot with the guy that was running it. And I did not understand it.
I don't really get it.
And I did my very best to try and explain it just now, and I'm sure I still haven't nailed it. Griffin, why are you smiling?
Because yesterday you were breaking this down for me, and you said, it's actually not that complicated. And then a half a sentence later, I was like, let's do it again. Let's start it over. Start it over.
I still have a chance to win. You don't have to be playing from the beginning. Like, are your odds better if you've been playing, or the odds you raise every week?
Your odds would be better now, right? Because there's only 9 cards. Think of it as 2 things. Cover me on this, Kevin.
No, but she's asking if you entered
previously.
20 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. It resets
no,
every week,
it's
right?
It's a reset, yeah. Yes. You have no advantage getting late in the game. So that's nice to know, isn't it, Violetta? You are not down by going in now.
Right.
But so you think of it, the first part is just a raffle, right? We all buy tickets, they put them in the hat, they pull out a winning ticket, quote-unquote winning ticket.
Just one?
Just one, right, Kevin? One.
Yeah, exactly.
Every
one
week?
Ticket is drawn on Thursday at 9 o'clock. One raffle ticket. And, yeah, you got to think about it this way. You got to be lucky twice. And kind of the shift of where the luck is. So at the beginning, when it was kind of a smaller pot and 54 possibilities of finding the Queen of Hearts, you know, it didn't take as much luck to get your raffle ticket pulled as much as it did to find, you know, out of 1 in 54 numbers,
right,
to find the Queen of Hearts. Now it's a bigger box of raffle tickets, and there's only, you know, but once you get that ticket pulled, you got pretty good odds of finding that Queen of Hearts because it's down to 9 cards.
Right, so they pull your ticket out, Violetta, and you go, hooray, they pulled my ticket. You haven't won anything yet.
Yeah.
Now we go to the board.
2 rounds, basically. And
so I get that part.
And then the second round is, okay, now there's only 9 cards left face down this week. One of them is still the Queen of Hearts. Which one is it? And you've selected one of 9 cards. Which one are you going to pick? I'm picking that one over there. Okay, we turn it over. If it's Queen of Hearts, you win. If it's not, we start all over again next week. And all of that money just keeps building and building and building. So if you want it next week, You got to buy again. You got to put your name on the tickets again.
I finally get it. I didn't understand how these last nine cards were left over.
Yeah. So, all right. So everybody's going to McNally's on Western. In what town exactly is that in? Is that Beverly?
It is Beverly. It's on like 111th in Western.
Yeah. Right. All right, bud. Well, listen. Thank you so much for including me. And
thank you for not including me.
No. Well, you got to stand in line, literally.
There's still time, Violetta. I'm turning the car around. I'm going to get you in.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, John.
Kevin McDonough works with us at WGN Radio in the sales department. He's a good guy. The good salespeople, they're always around money, aren't they? It's 2:22. I would not think of Violetta Podramedica as a skeptic, but here's the one bit of skepticism she had to say.
We're going there?
Queen, I think it's... Okay, I'll say it. A skeptic would say that nine cards are remaining, and if not tonight, eight cards will be remaining. A skeptic would say, huh, I wonder if it's ever happened. We're not saying this about McNally's. Absolutely we're not. But you can see how tempting it is to just not put a Queen of Hearts in there to begin with. If there's no Queen of Hearts, it always rolls over, and then eventually you'll slip a Queen of Hearts in there, but you don't do it to begin with. How could you lose?
And that's how you take a feel-good story.
What do you want me to say? Yeah, they could have.
I just never thought about that, and that's the first thing that popped into Violetta's mind.
It did occur to me that, you know, we were all saying, we have no idea how this game works. That you could use that to your advantage. A large group of people who don't understand, really, but they're throwing money at you.
Absolutely.
Isn't it funny how Violetta's always like the law and order person? She's always defending the police or the rules of this, and yet she's also the one who comes up with the ways around the law.
Well, here's a way to cheat on
that. Have you noticed
that?
It happens all the time.
I think Griffin's...
Well, you got to know the rules to break the rules.
But Griff is right, because I think if you just told people, hey, here's this crazy thing, we're putting money in, it's $2 million, 20s will just fly out of their pockets and purses.
Well, plus they also get you because you get to win once by being in the running to win the second time. So you got that feeling, you know, I was picked.
Yeah, I guess so. I wonder how the people feel whose name is drawn from the raffle pot. That is, you get to now see if your card is the Queen of Hearts, but they don't win. I'll bet those people are very wah-wah because there's no second place prize. It's all or nothing each time. Do you remember before the internet bubble burst, you know, when pets.com and all those kind of crazy, remember in the Super Bowl, they had a commercial that said it was from a brand new startup company. And the commercial was like a blank screen. And they just said, you know, we've got so much money right now, we don't even know what to do with it. But boy, when we get this thing going, it's going to be great. And it was like pets.com or something like that. The point was, people were throwing money into anything.com because they just knew that that thing was going to blow up and you were going to be rich if you could just get in right now. A friend of mine in Peoria called. He said, listen, and he and I didn't have any money. We still don't, but we sure didn't then. He goes, listen, there's this web company I hear, and it's coming, and it's going to be huge. And I've put a little bit of money into it, and if you ever thought about getting into one, this would be the one to go.
When we all look back on that, how stupid. And then we just did that like 4 months ago with Bitcoin, I feel like.
Right, yeah. Not everything's going to stick.
It all comes back. Yeah. It'll be something new in a couple months.
Find me the person that can explain Bitcoin. You think these raffles are complicated? I've done whole interviews on Bitcoin. I have no idea what Bitcoin is. I said to my buddy who called me from Peoria on this internet company, I said, well, Greg, what does this company do? That seems to be a reasonable question on my part. He said, I don't know, but I really got a good feeling about this one. I did not put money in it, and I don't know if he did. Steve, I find this fascinating. Steve, I find this mildly interesting.
Well, what's that, John?
Well, it is that when we asked our listeners which suit should I wear to the Thomas Jefferson show, the gray plaid one or the bright blue one, we actually made it at a poll on Twitter. The blue suit won. But when we asked that same question with the same pictures on Facebook, the gray plaid suit won. My theory is that Twitter skews a little younger, and the younger folks liked the bright, shiny blue outfit, whereas the older, more conservative Facebook users preferred something a little more less flashy, the gray plaid suit. Your thoughts?
Was the blue suit, is that the one with the red, white, and blue sort of handkerchief?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, I think that kills it for me.
That's why you said go with the gray plaid.
That's too obvious, red, white, and blue.
Well, it is a thing with Thomas Jefferson, for crying out loud.
He was a president.
Did you know that, Steve?
We get that. We know that. That's why we're there.
The colors of our flag are red, white, and blue. These colors don't run, baby.
You're not going to wear like a red wig or anything to look like him, are you?
No, he'll be in a red wig.
Oh, wig?
Well, actually, he's got red hair. He's Thomas Jefferson.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good theory.
That's my theory. I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
You can see the suits and the options. We, now that the blue suit has won, we use the Twitter poll as our guidepost. Since the blue suit beat the gray suit, we're now putting the blue suit up against another patriotic outfit. I'm WGN King John on Twitter. Now, we've invited some celebrity guests to come and ask questions this year. At the first show, Governor Quinn will ask a question about term limits, because he's very involved in that as an issue. And Mark Janis, the plaintiff in that Supreme Court case in Illinois, that's as a result said the Supreme Court has ruled that if you're in a public union in Illinois, you do not have to pay dues. You don't have to, in essence, belong to the union, even though you'll benefit from it, and you won't have to pay the dues. And he said, Jefferson's on my side, when we interviewed him. And I said, well, why don't you come to the show and ask him yourself? He'll be at the 1 o'clock show. We invited Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy from the 8th Congressional District in Illinois to join us. And I understand now, Raj, you're not going to be able to come. Is that right?
No, I thought I am. I thought I'm coming to the morning show.
Oh, now see, the word I'd heard, you might want to check with some of your people on this, was that it was just going to be too inconvenient. And I don't want to, you're a member of the United States Congress, for crying out loud. You got things to do.
Well, it's Thomas Jefferson, for crying out loud. I mean,
Congressman, I think he wants you to come, even though it doesn't sound like it.
I think I'm coming in the morning. I think at least I'm going to stop by for at least some portion of it.
Fair enough. Let's just you and I put our heads together here. You could ask him a question historically, or you know, what was the right to write the Declaration of Independence, or you could ask him about immigration policy or something.
Sure.
Where's your head on this, given this opportunity?
You know, I guess my question for President Jefferson would be about citizen engagement. You know, he wrote extensively on the need for a politically engaged citizenry. And I think he also argued for revolutions and the rewriting of constitutions as a means of keeping citizens engaged. So my question is, how can we achieve the level of citizen engagement that he desired? Maybe through less drastic means.
That's his lament. I hope you bring it up. It'd be interesting to hear the two of you kind of go back and forth a little bit on that, because if by this you mean people don't vote and we don't have the attention spans or the energy for some of this.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, what I do in my district is we have town halls very frequently. We try to, you know, get as many town halls in as many places as possible so people come and give their feedback. But I would sure love to hear what Thomas Jefferson said about maybe, you know, other ways of, you know, getting more people involved, especially young people, but others as well.
By the way, can I ask you a question about your business for a second?
Yes, sir.
We had Northwest Indiana Republican lawmaker Todd Rokita was in our studio the other day.
Oh, okay.
He put before the Congress a measure to force Robert Mueller to reveal to the American people what information they have on the president, in essence, to hurry this investigation along. Do you think that the Mueller investigation has taken too long? And what do you think about asking the Mueller team to show us their cards?
No, I think that's unfortunately that's been part of a growing pattern by the House majority, especially to try to undermine Mueller and the FBI and DOJ in general. Look, you know, the Mueller investigation has to go unimpeded. I've said all along, let the chips fall where they may. He's indicted 32 people, 4 people pled guilty, including in all cases cooperating with the government, and so. Let's let them do their job. It does take time, but you know, we can't get in the middle of this process and then, you know, ruin the results.
I know you got to go there, Raj. It sounds like you've got an alarm ringing in the background, but can I just ask you one other question about that?
Yeah.
He keeps referring to the angry Democrats on the Mueller committee or team. Do you have any knowledge about who these people are, what their political affiliation is? And is it really an almost exclusively Democratic group that's investigating the president?
No. I mean, Robert Mueller himself is a Republican. I think that to say that, you know, Robert Mueller would be politically biased in favor of Democrats would really go against the facts of his own, you know, political pedigree and who he's worked for and so forth. I think one of the reasons why he's so respected in Washington is that he has managed to, you know, really cultivate a reputation of being very unbiased. And so I think
that's Mueller, I wish that, if I may, Raj, that I wish that it'd be 50-50, you know, just to placate the fools out there and the talk show hosts. I wish that they would have said, of the 17 people investigating the president, whoever this committee is, or 20 of them, that 11 or 12 of them were Republican or Democrat, and 8 or 10 of them were Democrat or Republican, right?
You're talking about within his own team, people that he chose to be on his team?
I don't know what I'm talking about. The president keeps referring to these 16 or 17 angry Democrats, and he's painting it as a one-sided partisan attack.
You know, I respectfully disagree with the president about this. I think that, you know, I've been kind of knee-deep in this investigation of the investigators as well within the Oversight Committee. You know that the majority has been going after the FBI and the DOJ, and, you know, to really impugn their integrity by calling them political animals, which is, I think, kind of what the president is painting them as, you know, really hurts our law enforcement and the people that are trying to protect us. I think that rather than kind of attacking these people, we should be, you know, helping them to defend our country, which is really what they've spent their careers doing. And, you know, Inspector General Horowitz, who also is one of the most, you know, respected members of the Department of Justice, and nobody has called him a political person in any way, you know, issued a very extensive report about, you know, the FBI and DOJ, and he basically came to the conclusion that they have not been biased in their investigation of the Hillary Clinton emails, and now he's looking into other matters as well. So I think that we should let them continue with their investigation.
Be a pleasure to see you if we bump into you this weekend. I'm thrilled that you're planning on coming. Steve Bertrand, did you have any last questions before we let Mr. Christian
Murphy? I just have some numbers for you, John, about the average length of a special counsel investigation.
Oh, this came up, Raj, when we were talking with your colleague about this.
Yes, sir.
Has it been inordinately long or not?
Right. They're saying that it's gone on too long. This is from Business Insider, and it was from a year ago, but it says if you look at all of the special counsel investigations going back to Watergate, the average is 904 days. So
wow.
Almost 3 years. Almost 2.5 years. Yeah.
The Whitewater investigation for Clinton went on 2,978 days.
Of course it did.
Well, also
it's still going on.
The Iran-Contra investigation during the Reagan term went 2,420 days. So when people tell you that this has gone on too long or has gone on longer than most, it's just not true.
It's not true. And can I just say bring up one other thing that you folks didn't bring up? It's slightly unrelated, but I just saw it come over the wires a couple minutes ago. You know that the president revoked the security clearance for John Brennan, you know, former CIA director, claiming that he, you know, shouldn't have security clearance because he kind of criticized the president. I don't know if you saw this, but Bill McRaven, the retired admiral who was in charge of the force that captured and killed Osama bin Laden, just asked that his security clearance be revoked as well, because he said, you know, if the price of being able to criticize your president means losing your security clearance, then put me on the list too.
And Brennan oversaw that, right? The capture, right?
So that's
sir.
Interesting.
Yes,
so this guy's volunteered to have his clearance revoked just in support of his colleague. Interesting.
Yes, sir.
Congressman, thank you for joining us. Our best to your staff and family, and we look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. It's 2:48. I got a thing from the Secretary of State's office the other day. I'll talk about this after a break. I don't know if this has happened to any of you guys. Have you ever gotten the iCash email from the Illinois Secretary of State?
I've gotten cash from that program.
Yeah. I've got four files, they said, of money. Producer Griffin has a file of money. My brother and sister-in-law have files of money. All four of mine are listed as under $100. Griffin's is listed as over $100 from the Tribune Company.
Hmm. That's weird. Because you'd think the Tribune Company knows how to find him.
I don't know if they missed a paycheck or what it is. So I opened up my files very excitedly. And I wonder what happened when you have done this too. Does any if you know what I'm talking about, we'll finish this in a minute. 312-981-7200. So I got this thing from the, I don't know if it was a, if a, I don't know how they communicated it to me. Was it a email or what? But I got this thing from the Secretary of State. It said, enter your Social Security number or name or whatever. I just filled out this form. I was a little leery about putting my social number in there, but I did. And lo and behold, they said, well, here's the four files of money that we have of you that you haven't claimed. You know how the state keeps all that? And they characterized them as under $100 or over $100. I opened up all four files, and it comes to a grand total of $35.92. But some people may have more. I'm just wondering if, you know, how optimistic anybody should be when they get these things. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. What's up?
Hey, Kane, John. I got a call from my family in upstate New York last night that the comptroller of New York State
right
is sitting on some stock in my name. Back in 67, my father bought shares of Lockheed and put them in my name.
1967?
Yep. He's long since passed, of course, so it went to the comptroller. I don't know what to do.
How many shares do you know?
I don't know. But I do know this,
yeah,
that they split three times.
So whatever it was, it's worth three times more. And, boy, you've just got to imagine that the value of even a split share from 67 to 2018, I'll bet Lockheed stock's gone up.
In 67, it sold for $2. It's up in the 300 to 400 now.
It could be 10 shares, but it could be 10,000 shares.
Well, depending on the split and the way they split it, it's times 40. Even if it's only one share, it's now equal to 40 shares.
40 shares. What did Lockheed close at yesterday?
From what I hear, between 3 and 4.
Between $300 and $400?
Yep.
A share.
Well, yep.
I can find that out for you in about 18 seconds here. But, well, so what happens next?
And also, apparently, there are dividend checks.
I got to go, Bob, but you have to finish this story with me tomorrow or the next day. I mean, so when are you going to find out?
I should get some word on it today. My brother's going to print out everything I need to do.
You know, Bob, I've always enjoyed your company, and you're a good-looking guy. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I was thinking of going to Mexico to watch the Sox play. So, you know.
I know. And the drinks will be on you, my friend. hey, listen, hold on just a second. Talk to Griffin off the air, and let's connect one more time, all right?
All right.
Now, that's not – well, it's kind of the same thing. That's the New York version of it with the comptroller. It's the Secretary of State's office here. I got that notice. I'm worth $30. Maybe Bob will be worth more. Hey, you're worth something right now. If you call 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, 10th caller gets a pair of tickets to our Jefferson show. These are the last tickets I have to give away. We'll make it a family pack of four to the 1 o'clock show this Saturday.